Welcome back into the program. JJ Jackson here with Tom Peavy, Ron the Boy, and Austin Scott inside our studios. Hope that you're doing well on this Wednesday. What we want to do right now is go to our Auburn Bank phone line and bring on a good friend of the show. The voice of the Auburn Tigers, a former host of Sports Call itself, none other than Andy Burcham, kind enough to join us here on today's program. Hello there, Andy. How are you?
War Eagle, gentlemen. Good to be with you. JJ, I'm surprised that you're even standing up after after the news coming out of Duke today. How are you even functioning after this kind of news?
It's really difficult. Obviously, it's an icon. It's a childhood hero that's walking away from the game after this upcoming season. But I got to keep pushing forward, Andy, so I'm doing what I can. And fortunately, as you know, hosting a radio show, I get to sit down, so I'm not as off balance sitting in a chair.
I'm glad. I'm happy for you, and I was concerned for you when I saw the news come out about lunchtime today.
I had a lot of people that wanted to check in on my well-being, so
sure,
you're not the only
understand.
One. Yes.
I'll be checking in on Brad Law later.
Yeah, you know, he and I both, we're wild Coach K fans. That's awesome.
I know.
Well, Andy, let's talk about a couple of things that have been happening in the athletics world. Most recently, this Auburn baseball team saw their season come to a close, but you were on the call for all the baseball games for the season, and for this team to even get into the SEC tournament really was remarkable.
It is. What Auburn had to do in the last 4 weeks, basically, of the season to get to the point just to be the 12th seed at the SEC tournament was remarkable for this team. Is it where Auburn wanted to end up? Obviously, it is not. It is, and I don't think we'll see Auburn in this situation next season. But through a series of injuries, some bad breaks, some very, very good play, especially in the SEC Western Division, that's where Auburn found itself. And going into the last weekend of the season, it had to go to Missouri and beat a program that it had never beaten in a series in the history of Auburn baseball, and that was Missouri. And it was able to do that, got some help from LSU beating Texas A&M, and as a result, Auburn made it to the SEC tournament, drew Ole Miss in the first game of the first round of the tournament and fell to the Ole Miss Rebels in that last game a week ago yesterday, as a matter of fact. And Auburn's season came to a close. And what we would typically be now getting ready to head to a regional where we're done for the season. And it will be very, very interesting to see how this program moves forward using the transfer portal, using recruits coming in. Maybe you get a couple guys back that perhaps you didn't expect coming back for next season. We'll probably find out a lot here in the next month or so, and we'll culminate basically mid-next month with the pro baseball draft, and we'll find out how many guys from this team are drafted and how many of Auburn's recruits coming in are drafted as well.
And Andy, this completed for you your second season, but your first full season, because obviously when you took the job for the fall of 2019, we did not get to see an NCAA basketball tournament for this Auburn team in 2020. We did not get to have much of a baseball season. So for you, this completed the trifecta of full seasons for your first full year. I'm interested to hear what you're going to do kind of in your time off this summer as you kind of, you know, reflect upon a first full season of athletics and then also look towards next season as well.
Well, you know, there's a lot of new coming up for Auburn. We will see this first season under Brian Harsin for Auburn football. So that is certainly one of the aspects of this fall that I look forward to, is watching how his team develops through the summer months and those preseason workouts, and getting ready for that game against the Akron Zips on September 4th, and then Alabama State at home in game two before going on the road. The first road game under Brian Harsin as Auburn's head coach. And, of course, it will be under the lights. It will be a whiteout situation, and it will be a full house when Auburn plays at Penn State. I've been to Penn State for basketball. I've never been there for a football setting. So I look forward to seeing what that will be like. And that will be Auburn's first true road test, and it will be a very tough one indeed for the Tigers before Auburn comes home and gets Georgia State on the 25th. And then for the rest of the South or for the rest of the season, it's kind of like last year, isn't it? Because it's nothing but SEC for Auburn the rest of the way. So I look forward to seeing what that's going to be like. How I spend my time this summer, we continue to work on different projects here at the Auburn Sports Network. We'll continue the weekly Talking Tigers podcast. This next podcast, the current podcast, is an interview that Rod and I did with Coach Dye in 2018, in December of 2018. And he talked about his life from childhood through his career and some interesting stories from Coach Dye. This next Talking Tigers podcast is with Auburn Associate Head Women's Basketball Coach Bob Starkey, who has been has an interesting career. He started out at a historically black university as the head coach, making about $4,000 a year.
Wow.
And resurrected that program. And then his first job was at a major college, was as an assistant at Marshall, his alma mater. And from there, he went to work for Dale Brown for a number of years on the men's side with LSU, including the recruitment and the playing career of Shaquille O'Neal. From there to as an assistant under Sue Gunter, legendary coach Sue Gunter, and then Van Chancellor with LSU, spent a year at Central Florida, then to Texas A&M, and now here at Auburn in his first season on what I think is a terrific staff under Johnny Harris. And I really look forward to seeing what they're going to do with that program. And then, you know, my goodness, what Bruce Pearl has done is with the portal and the recruiting that he has done, it's going to be fascinating to see how this Auburn basketball program responds to a year that was certainly under expectations. How a year that Auburn had decided it would not have a postseason, and now we'll be coming back with a vengeance, with I wouldn't say completely new roster, but a very new roster with just great talent coming back. So as tough at times as this athletic season has been, I know for Auburn fans, I think there's a great deal of promise on the horizon for these Auburn programs, to be sure.
We're talking with the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham, here on Sports Call today, who, as we just alluded to, finished his first full season as the voice of Auburn, calling play-by-play for football, men's basketball, and baseball. What was it like, Andy, to be on that grind for, the first full year for you personally?
Well, you know, from a schedule standpoint, guys, it's not a lot different than what I was doing before. I wasn't the main play-by-play voice. Those years leading up to 2019, I was on the football crew and did the pregame halftime interview with Coach Malzahn and the postgame show for football. And then went from there to women's basketball and from there to baseball. So, you know, my seasons were a little bit different, but from a time perspective, you know, it's basically August through whenever baseball ends. So that schedule really didn't change a whole lot other than the responsibilities themselves. And that certainly is a major change for me. And I'm grateful. I'm blessed to be in this position in spite of the fact of how I became to be the voice of the Auburn Tigers and to take over for my friend Rod Bramblett, who took over from our friend Jim Fife and dealing with those very untimely passings. So, you know, it's I every day I walk into this job, and my office is at the old Beard East Coliseum. I'm in Rod's office. I walk into this office, and there's reminders of Rod that I walk into this office every day. There's a reminder of Rod that lives with Jan and I every day at our house. So Rod and Paul are never far from my memory, are never far from my thoughts, to be sure. And I look forward to coming in here and working with the folks here at the Auburn Sports Network every day. We have a terrific crew of folks. We're thrilled to have affiliates like Tiger Communications.
Yes, sir.
In Auburn and our affiliates throughout the state of Alabama and Georgia and Tennessee, Florida, and I'm blessed to have this. I'm blessed to have this job. I'm doing the very best I can with it.
It's Andy Burcham. He's the voice of the Auburn Tigers. You can follow him on Twitter at @aburcham04. Again, the Talking Tigers podcast is put out each and every week with various figures in the Auburn athletics community. Andy, as you know, this year we're celebrating the 25th year of Sports Call being on the air, and also going back and talking through a couple of the greatest games. We're into the top 10, getting close to the top 5, and over the past week or so, we've been reflecting on that 2013 SEC football championship game versus Missouri, where Trey Mason quite literally ran over everybody and all over the field. What do you remember from that day in Atlanta?
Certainly I remember what Trey Mason did that day, and I remember the comment of the Missouri coach after the game when they asked about trying to stop Trey Mason, and his response for something, this is not verbatim, his response is, well, obviously, I'm not the guy to ask about that, considering how we stopped him in that ball game. But that was an Auburn team with a great deal of momentum and confidence going in. And why not? I mean, after two remarkable wins against Georgia and then the kick six against Alabama, and Auburn went from a team all of a sudden in contention for the SEC championship game to, I think, the favorite in the SEC championship game. Missouri was a surprise to be in that SEC championship game. And even though it took two miracle finishes against Georgia and Alabama for Auburn to be there, I still thought that Auburn was the favorite in that game. And Auburn just ran all over Missouri in that ball game. And all of a sudden then, you know, now you're going to get to go to the Rose Bowl. I had never been to that facility. You know the history of the Rose Bowl. You're about to face Florida State. You're about to play for a second national championship in a three-year span. And we all know that Auburn was 13 seconds away from pulling that off against Florida State. So there were so many things in that ball game and how well Auburn played in that game and what Auburn did from a running perspective in that game, then it all of a sudden it now sets up and everybody is scrambling to find tickets to Los Angeles or some state in Vegas and came over, just the excitement of knowing that national championship game would begin as soon as Auburn finished off Missouri at the SEC championship game. A friend of mine, Mike Kelly, is the longtime voice for Missouri, and he and I took a picture before that game outside the booth there at the old Georgia Dome, and it was a chance for the two of us to get together, and we started together in Carbondale, Illinois, and his route took him through Champaign to Camo X in St. Louis and then to become the longtime voice in Missouri, and it was an opportunity for us to get together and kind of talk about the old times and then get ready for what turned out to be a terrific win for Auburn in the SEC championship game.
Andy, JJ mentioned the top 25 games we've been going through every other week. On those other weeks, we're talking about the top 25 athletes since 1995. Today is number 5, Casey Mize. Obviously, Auburn pitching great over the last few years in recent memory. What do you remember about interacting with Casey, watching him pitch in Plainsman Park, and more?
You know, you hear Butch Thompson talk about passing the torch or passing the baton. He talked about it this year, especially from his starting staff to the bullpen. And when he talks about that, though, he also talks about, you know, from one pitching staff to the next pitching staff. And from the leader of one staff becomes the leader of another staff. And when I think about Casey Mize, I think about Keegan Thompson. And Keegan, of course, making his major league debut with the Cubs. I think he's still only given up one run as a major leaguer. And, you know, Keegan fought through injuries and came back with a vengeance and is now living his dream playing in Major League Baseball. But Keegan was that guy. And Casey Mize was kind of under his wing, so to speak. And then when Keegan moved on, then Casey took over that mantle and started to mentor Tanner Burns, who's now playing in his first year of Pro Bowl with the Cleveland Indians. I remember Casey Mize having a great deal of potential. He was not highly thought of, not as highly thought of coming out of high school as Keegan or Tanner, either one, but a guy that you knew had great raw potential and decided to come to Auburn through a coaching change. And boy, am I glad he did. And then that last season with Auburn, you know, I got to call. I was doing the game for SEC Network Plus. That Friday night game, that no-hitter. And it's the first no-hitter that I've, well, it's the second no-hitter that I've been a part of, actually third, as an Auburn broadcaster. Eric Brandon threw a perfect game, and then that same pitching staff combined for a no-hitter back in the 90s. But I was doing the game with Mark Fuller, and it was a Friday night, and my brother from Illinois had been down visiting, and they were going to leave, and I said, Matt, why don't you guys leave tomorrow? You should come tonight, sit with me in the booth, and watch this guy pitch for Auburn tonight in Casey Mize. And it was about this time that Casey's name started to surface as certainly a first-round guy and perhaps the number one pick in the Major League draft. And to be able to call that game with my brother sitting to my left, and I kind of looked at him, and he looked at me after Casey finished up the no-hitter, and he's like, yeah, I'm glad I stayed. I'm glad I got to watch this guy. And I stuck around after Casey did radio with Paul Ellen, who was calling the game on radio that night. And what was interesting is Matt and I, my brother and I, rode down the elevator with Casey Mize. He had come up to the booth to do the post-game interview, and I've got a picture of me and Casey outside the elevator at Plainsman Park that one day I will get signed by Casey because it's from that no-hitter. And he was just a very good pitcher for Auburn, and then, of course, became the number one draft pick as Auburn came back after the North Carolina State Regional that Auburn won. And I think it was maybe the next day he was the first-round draft pick. Yeah. And then Auburn went to Florida and lost that heartbreaker Super Regional down there. So those are some of the things that I remember about, you know, a guy like Casey Mize and Keegan Thompson and Tanner Burns. And I think Cody Greenhill has been that guy for Auburn since probably even including when Tanner was here. That mentor, that older, that mature pitcher. And it'll be interesting now to see of the guys that Auburn has coming back, if Cody doesn't come back, you know, who takes that role now? That I think started with Keegan Thompson, was passed to Casey Mize, then Tanner Burns and Cody Green, and now who steps up into that role for Auburn.
It'll certainly be interesting to figure out. We're talking with Andy Burch, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, and Casey Mize, our number five player in the Sports Call Top 25 Athlete Countdown since 1995. Of course, Mize, as we mentioned earlier, off to a great season with the Detroit Tigers so far. Andy, before we let you get out of here, in the spirit of those no-hitters, we've actually seen six of those already in Major League Baseball this season. A lot of folks throughout the summertime enjoy watching Major League Baseball. We know you're an avid fan of the St. Louis Cardinals. I've never actually asked you this, Andy, and I got to thinking when you were reflecting on that day calling Casey Mize a no-hitter, where do you stand on the broadcaster's jinx? Like, what have you typically done in your career in kind of watching the game and that sort of thing? Do you want the broadcaster to tell you a no-hitter's happening, or do you shy clear of that?
I think there are ways to tell folks without actually using the word no-hitter. I don't recall using the word no-hitter until the ground out to Luke Jarvis at second base, and he threw to first, and then I said, it's a no-hitter for Casey Mize. I think that's the first time I uttered that phrase in that broadcast.
Wow.
And listen, we had the graphic up, which showed how many hits that the other team had that night. And, you know, there are ways that you can do it without using the phrase, but no, I'll tell you, when Auburn was no hit by Arkansas in the SEC tournament just a few years ago, I mentioned it almost for every batter, and it didn't work. So, But no, I did not use the word. I don't think I used the word no hitter at all during that broadcast until it was complete.
That's amazing. Yeah, you don't want to have any broadcasters jinx when watching Auburn greatness like that. Well, Andy, we really do appreciate the time as always. Thank you again, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon, okay?
My pleasure, guys. War Eagle.